podcast that brings you one guest, one question, one answer. Business insights in minutes, not hours, with your host, the small business and franchise expert, Gary Occhiogrosso.
Good morning again, and welcome to another edition of Mastermind Minutes. My name is Gary Occhiogrosso. I am the founder and managing partner for Franchise Growth Solutions. For those of you who'd like to know what we do, just go to our website, which is franchisegrowthsolutions.com or frangrow.com, and you can find out a lot about us and what we do. Mastermind Minutes, for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, is a podcast / webcast that delves into one topic with one guest surrounding one answer. And we do it in minutes, not hours, so that you can get a snippet of some information, meet our guest via the podcast. And then if you are intrigued by what they have to say and would like more information, at the end of the program, we will give you contact information, their website or email address, whatever they're comfortable giving, and you can contact them directly for more information. So today, my guest is Joani Perez, and she is an immigrant from the DR, from the Dominican Republic. Joani and her mother and grandmother came to New York when she was at a very young age, I just found out, about 2 years old. Her family was looking for a better life. And for years, they lived in a one-bedroom apartment in the Bronx with seven of her family members. And food was never a certainty on their table. This is kind of the story of a lot of people who come to the United States, which is why I love how people create opportunities. So if we fast forward now, and Joani will tell us more about it, food actually runs their lives. So from being uncertain on their table to running their lives, she'll tell you about it. It's kind of an interesting story. Her mother and Joani brought a dream to life and built three restaurants, each doing seven figures. The restaurants are the Tin Marin, the Tili La, and the Canyave. So hopefully I said that right. You'll correct me. I practiced a little bit before the program. Two of them are in the Bronx. One is in the Inwood section of Manhattan. And Joani's passion now lies in helping immigrants and women of color become entrepreneurial, specifically in the business of building restaurants. And I just love that, because when you become successful and you give back. Joani, before we get into the topic, fill in a little bit of the blanks about coming to the U.S. and building restaurants and how you decided to now create this other endeavor where you're helping entrepreneurs open their own restaurants.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here, Gary. It's a pleasure. So yeah, I was born in the Dominican Republic like the rest of my family, and my mother and my grandmother came here in the 90s seeking a better life for me and my brother. I was 2 years old when I came here. My mother was worked for as a cashier for many, many years, for about 20 years. And my grandmother also, she was working at a factory, very long hours. She didn't know the language. So, right, we have all these obstacles, but we kept going. Many of us were living in that one bedroom apartment, and we were just making ends meet until, you know, a couple years later, I find myself working as a McDonald's manager. So first I was a cashier there, and I worked my way up in about a year to McDonald's manager, where I was there for 4 years already. And my mother had went back to school for business administration and accounting at Baruch College. And my stepfather at the time was working as a bartender server and had years of experience in the restaurant business, in the restaurant industry. And my mom came to me and she said, well, can you do some research and see what it would cost or what are the requirements to buy a McDonald's franchise? And I was really surprised, because, you know, that meant she had, you know, this huge amount of capital saved than she had been sacrificing for so many years to make this now business that she wanted a reality. And so when we discovered that we not only had to have $500,000, but we also had to have an existing business running for 2 years that we owned under her name. And she didn't have that. We didn't have that. And so that really prompted us to create that business, right? So we created our first restaurant, which is Tin Marin in Riverdale in the Bronx. And it was a success from the beginning. The community support was incredible. You know, when we were renovating, we would ask people to come by and have wine with us, and we would tell them about what we were doing and the renovation that we were doing. And we asked them, you know, what did they want to eat and see, and, you know, just asking them their perspective on what they wanted the restaurant and the bar to be like. And so, you know, we were introducing ourselves to the community, and people loved that. So that's something very different that we do. Each time we go to a new space, we make that connection in that community so that we get their support and their input, and they feel like they're part of it. And so from there, we grew to two other concepts. So Tilila, which came a couple years later from Tin Marin, which feels like a little blue house from the Caribbean, where we have like rocking chairs, and you go in and you feel like you're in the Dominican Republic or in your own country. We have live music there all every day on a daily basis. So that's a little more like pop rock kind of concept. And then we opened Cañave about almost 3 years ago now, which is a Mexican restaurant, but is Dominican inspired, because we're all Dominicans, but Tin Marin is Spanish tapas, and Tilila is also Spanish tapas, and Cañave, it's Mexican cuisine, but Dominican inspired. And so, yeah, I now, last year in 2020, decided that, you know, 8 years in the industry, I want to help women of color. I want to teach what I know. I want to give access to the restaurants to food entrepreneurs who want to intern, who want to shadow, who don't know where to start, because this is what usually my clients come to me for, because they're really confused about all the licensing that they have to get, and the whole process of opening a restaurant. It's really intimidating. And I want to be able to make that process like smooth and something that they feel that they can do, because they see themselves in me and my mother and my stepfather as immigrants who came to this country with the same story as them, right? Not knowing the language. And we worked our way up and we made it.
Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful story. So just the connection. So the story you just told is similar, a couple of different pieces, obviously, but similar to the story of my family, and I'm sure millions of other immigrant families. You know, when my grandfather came here, I think in 1916 or 1920, I don't recall or know the actual year. Same thing, you know, kind of lived in tenements in the Lower East Side down in Alphabet City, which my family lived there until like the 50s or 60s. A lot of people kind of crammed into a small space. Did what he had to do to work and save his money, started an Italian pastry business, which grew into three locations with his family. And, you know, little by little by little, kind of, you know, lived the American dream. So it's great to hear that. I think what didn't exist back then, and certainly didn't exist when your mom and grandma and you came here, was the ability to connect. And maybe it did, but maybe not as prevalent as it is today, because we talk more about equal opportunity for people. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of outreach didn't exist back then. Maybe even 20 years ago didn't exist as the way it does today. And we still could use more of it. So I'd like to, because it's fascinating, I think it's wonderful that you've taken three successful restaurants, and now you've taken what you've learned there and your financial success, and you've embedded that into a program, into a mission, if you will, for the lack of a better word, to take people who are in your, who are currently in the same place that maybe you were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever the timeline is, or maybe even that my grandfather was in 75 years ago, and say, right. Hey, here's what they don't teach in school, okay?
Right.
Here's how you do this, or here's one way of doing it. I'm not going to say that you're out there saying here's the only way to do it. Here's how you can do this. And I think what's most important is the fact that you can say, if I did it, you can do it, because I had all the same mm-hmm. barriers and all this other stuff, and here's what you do. So tell me what you see as the challenges that women, and in particular women of color, face as entrepreneurs, and let's say specifically in the restaurant business, because that's what you and I do for a living. If mm-hmm. you will. So what are some of the challenges that women are facing trying to get into their own business these days?
That's a great question. So, you know, I was looking online and I actually found that women are 21% less likely than men to be promoted to manager in the restaurant industry. And Black women or women of color are 40% less likely than men to be promoted to manager, right? Mm-hmm. And only 19% hold chef positions. And, you know, even when women are operators of restaurant industry, typically they're white women of privilege who make it very high into the executive roles of very big companies. So I think that for women of color like me, sometimes it could be really difficult to see themselves and someone who has such a big name, who has made it, you know, really big and are working for like a, you know, a very corporate high ladder position in the restaurant industry. So I think that that's one of the barriers, like, can I get up there, right? How do I do it? And what mentors can I reach out to? Because there's one of the other things, there's a lot of restaurant owners who are women of color, who are really busy and, you know, for one reason or the other, they cannot mentor other women of color or other women who want to go and be the owner of their own restaurant, their own concept. So I think that those are one of the things, but also, you know, it's a capital and the lack of support and information about how to raise capital, information like how do you get a partner, right, to come into this business with you, and how much does it cost, and what is the right way to look for a space, and what are some things that you can do to negotiate a lease. Mm-hmm. So all those things are like key information that people don't have access to, that I think that are very crucial for someone, an immigrant person or women of color, to say, oh, okay, I can actually do this. And I can actually have the support of someone to come up with the money that I need to open something. Okay. And I've been working with with a woman in South Africa who we raised capital to open a mobile kitchen for her and for the youth that she takes care of. So she's the founder of an orphanage over there. And I worked with her before, so I know her personally. This is one of the things that I'm very passionate about is, okay, so this is your dream. And you know, you really, you know, you might have something saved, but you really need like more support in that and getting over that first financial obstacle, right? Roadblock that many women have. So I support women in this stage, in this very early stage. And I think that nobody does that, right? So if you don't have the money, nobody's going to help you open a restaurant.
So let me just jump in, because I'm sorry to interrupt. I just don't want to go too far down the road here, because there's so much mm-hmm. that you've said. There's so much that you've said.
Yes.
And I, first of all, I understand and I get it about the inspiration, okay, that someone like yourself can inspire people. And because, you know, we all need to be able to point to someone and say, I can connect, I can relate to that person's story, I can relate to their background. And we're human beings, and maybe we all want to think, oh yeah, well, we're all the same and blah, 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 and that's great. But at the end of the day, okay, people want to connect with people who are like them or who they feel were in a situation that they're in so that they can kind of be inspired by that to learn. So I understand that part of it. Where I think it starts to get a little, I'll use the term squirrely, because then it becomes different for everyone, is what are the needs of that individual person? Now, you mentioned finances. So I'm going to anticipate for this conversation, correct me if I'm wrong, that finances is a common thread for folks who want to get into business. I don't, you know, regardless of color, fine, you need money. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Right.
So what is it like? Are you taking on a mentorship role? Have you created relationships with either banks or organizations or, I don't know, crowdfunding sources? What is it that you're actually, what's the nuts and bolts, I guess, that you're bringing to the table in addition to the inspiration as it relates to financing? Because I'd like to know about all the other pieces, but you brought up financing, which I think is obviously an important piece. How do you connect those folks and help them get money to start a business?
Yeah, so the first thing I'm really big on crowdfunding. So the way we raised money for the South Africa Mobile Kitchen was through a site called Global Giving. So I'm connected to a nonprofit called Airline Ambassadors International, and I volunteered with them before, and they are an NGO who's registered at this site, globalgiving.org. And basically you can upload a project there by telling, okay, what's the story of the project? What's the challenge? What is the goal for raising, you know, this amount of money? And what is the long-term impact? And so that was my first experience with helping a client raise money for their dream restaurant. And so we made a budget. We took pictures, we made content, and we told a story of, you know, what is the story of this person and why do they want to go into the restaurant industry and how is this going to impact the local community and make an economic impact and provide jobs and skills for the youth that she she cares for, the client as well. And we uploaded that and we were very successful. We have raised now about $4,000. I know that maybe here in the US is not a lot of money, but over there it goes a long way. And so that's one of the things that I use is crowdfunding. Another, I am building relationships with banks, but I know that usually big banks like Chase and Bank of America and all these things, they don't lend usually to people who want to open a restaurant. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the information I got from my mother, is that once you're established in the restaurant industry, yes, you can apply for a loan. But if you're new, right, the risk of the restaurant not being successful is so big that the banks don't want to lend to you.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. I will tell you that it's almost as if when you need the money, they're not really willing to help you. When you don't need the money, then they'll happy to help.
Yes.
As I tell people all the time, because we put people in the restaurant business also, that's one of the things my company does, is don't let your dream die in the parking lot of the bank. Okay?
Right.
Just don't let it happen there. Don't let it happen at all, but it certainly shouldn't happen there. So I hear you about banking. So crowdfunding is one source, and I'll be happy to speak with you after the program about some other connections I might be able to help you out with. What about things like SBA funding, grants, things of that nature? Do those come into play?
Yes, those come into play. I've been looking at SBA because I know they lend money to people who want to open small businesses. So I'm in the process of creating those connections. And because I had people even come to me on Instagram on the DM asking, how can I start a deli, a bodega, a deli, and how can I fund it? You know, and I want to be able to provide the solution for those type of people, because opening a bodega is much more simpler than opening a restaurant.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, right? So it would be like, you know, this gets me pumped up because I'm like, yes, like I need to create something that's going to help this person. And I told them, like, there's probably grants and SBA loans that you can take out, as well as crowdfunding and, you know, just making this huge campaign on social media. Like, if they're really dedicated, I think that they can do it and they can raise the money needed to open that deli and that bodega. But people have to be 100% in it, right? Because if you're not...
I often ask folks if they're interested or if they're committed, because there's a huge difference. If you're interested in something, well, you'll kind of do it on your own time because you're interested. But if you're committed, then nothing is going to stand in your way and nothing's going to stop you. So I hear you, and I can totally relate to that. Let me just now, like, let's talk about, like, the next step. So now let's say someone has the ability to get funding and they put together sort of a business plan and they understand. But, and maybe they have an idea for a restaurant, but it's, and we do, again, what one of the things my company does is concept development. Very often people will say, well, I like this type of cuisine, but they don't really understand how you put together the entire guest experience. So earlier in this program, you mentioned, and I think it was Tilila, is the blue little Caribbean house, that you've created an entire experience there. So how do you help them create the environment? What is the layout of the restaurant, the concept, and we'll talk about equipment and food costs and stuff in a minute, but how do you help them kind of put skin on the bone, so to speak, of what is in their head?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So one of the things I tell them, my clients, to do is that they need to go out and eat out and do a lot of research. So they need to see what is out there, the concepts, what do they like about it, the different types of menus, the prices, what, you know, the live music that is playing, like go make connections with bands that are local artists, so that you know people once you open your restaurant, you know the kind of entertainment that you want to provide to your guests. And then, you know, it's all about like, what is it that you want like to... your guests to feel like in your restaurant? What is it that you want to take them back to? What type of cuisine do you want to serve? And, you know, my stepfather is really the genius in looking at a space and turning it into just like a beautiful space where guests are going to be, you know, wanting to be there all day. And so I use the example of our different concepts, right? Showing them, you know, this is how a very small space would look like. And this is how a more, you know, more casual space looks like Daily La. And we have Tin Marin, which is a little bit more formal dining. And then Cañave, which is really big. And we have these beautiful windows that have a view to the park, to a park. And so really that's what I use. I don't have yet much experience in doing that, but we have with new clients, but we had friends who we've mentored in designing the concept. Mm-hmm. So there's a restaurant across from us called Cocina Chente, and they're Mexican, and the owners used to work at Tin Marin for 5 years or more, and then they went on to open their own restaurant, and we were able to mentor them just on a, you know, informal way, how to create that beautiful concept. And when you walk into Cocina Chente, you feel like you're in Mexico, right? And you have like all these things that come from straight from Mexico, like the ingredients that they use for their margaritas and the sodas and just, you know, everything that they serve just comes straight from, you know, La Tierra, from over there. Right. And it's beautiful and it's really small, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. I and by the way, that's my favorite cuisine. Years ago, myself and my current consulting partner, we headed up a fast casual fresh Mexican concept called Desert Moon. We had about 30 locations. And one of my favorite things was to, we'd go out to California and we'd start like up in Los Angeles and kind of drive down the Pacific Coast Highway all the way down and stop at every little taqueria that we could find and try to get the flavors and really understand it, you know? I hear you about that. And it's interesting because what we're talking about here, and by the way, my guest today is Giovanni Perez, who is the owner of three restaurants and now helps entrepreneurial women of color start their own restaurant. And that's kind of our topic today, what we're talking about, in case you joined us late. But one of the things that's interesting to me, and by the way, this is no disrespect to chefs, okay? But what I often find as a challenge when we want to open up multiple restaurants or a chain or get into the total experience is that sometimes the person that is, I'm going to use the term standing in the way, is the chef, because the chef sees basically the center of the plate and not necessarily the entire experience, as you just, you know, beautifully described. So, you know, to me, there are business chefs and then there are kind of the artist, you know, the artist chef, and the business chef kind of gets it and understands, you know, okay, so what's the experience? What's the colors? What's the music? Like right down to the music, you know, that sort of stuff. So now someone has money. Someone now has a concept fleshed out. Next steps would be, okay, how do we help that person find a location, pick the right equipment? How should the restaurant be laid out? What do you do in that respect to help an entrepreneur in those areas?
Yes, so there's some mentorship and information that we use to pick a location. So one of the things is, you know, not many people know, but going to the area that you see that you want to be in, you have to count the amount of people that pass by and the amount of cars that pass by, the amount of businesses that are there, is there a school nearby, things like that, so that you're able to tell on a Monday how many people are going to go into my restaurant, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, and then on a weekend, how many people are going to pass by my restaurant that could possibly be customers. Is there a train station nearby for people to easily come, you know, on the subway? And is there possibility of parking, which is a huge thing, right? One of our restaurants, parking is very difficult. However, you know, people have found a way to get out there. But at Tin Marin and at Tilly Lab, parking is really easy. And we don't need any to pay for any parking, but people just find parking on the street. So I think that's another thing. And knowing things like, you know, calling to see if that specific space had a liquor license before and if it was revoked or not, it's very important. So things like that people have to figure out, that people should know, like you cannot be 500 feet from a church, you know, to be able to open, have a liquor license. So that's something that people don't know about. If there is a bus station, a bus stop right in front of the space that you're choosing, you're not going to be able to have outdoor dining there. It needs to be a couple feet down. So things like that. And also, how can they negotiate a lease? So a lot of people don't know that you can get rent abatement, which is that with a lawyer, with the proper attorney, you can get a couple months for free so that you can make any changes, any renovations that you need to make to the space. And you can also use that same lawyer to negotiate the lease and how long you have the lease for, as well as the rent. You know, you can negotiate down and, you know, ask for as much as you can so that the landlord can give you what you actually want.
Yeah.
So things like that are things that I teach.
Yeah. And those are, again, we do the same thing. So you and I absolutely have to have a greater discussion about this after the program. But, you know, those are the things that people don't know about. And when you talk about, we call that rent abatement that you, we call that build out time or free rent, where the landlord gives you 2 or 3 months, let's say, to build the restaurant, because you don't want to pay rent before you actually have money coming in. Things like you mentioned, getting the landlord to do certain things, we call those tenant improvement dollars. So if you can get the landlord to put in the air conditioning or to put in the bathrooms, because those are all things at the end of the day, when you leave that space, you don't take the bathroom and the air conditioner with you. You stay with the landlord. So
that's a great point. Yeah.
You know, if the landlord does that, well, that's an upgrade to his or her property. So those are all the little, you know, I don't want to use the word tricks, but they're kind of like the little tricks and tips and things that if you don't know, they can cost you thousands and thousands of dollars in extra money. Mm-hmm. And that money can be better spent marketing your restaurant, gaining more guests, hiring employees that you can pay more money to, and just more training. I mean, that's really the crux of it. So I think what you're doing is wonderful. I really do. I love the website, by the way. And what I'd like to do now, because we kind of have to wrap it up, so I'm going to ask you for a closing thought. But then if someone wants to get in touch with you, just because they want to know more about what you do, or they want to become part of this community and this program that you work with, entrepreneurial women, women of color, how does someone reach you if they want to get in touch with you?
So they can email me at hello@joanniperez.com. They can also visit my website, joanniperez.com. And find me on Instagram at @joas_coaching.
Okay. And when we post the webcast and the podcast, we will post those links and those addresses there. Any closing thought, anything you want to leave the audience with? This has been so great a conversation. Any final thought?
Yeah, my only final thought is, you know, there are so many resources out there for you to start your dream food business or restaurant. And one of the things is, I forgot to mention, is there's a website called loop.net where I've shared with many of my clients that where you can find bakeries and cafes and restaurants that are for sale, that are very cheap during these times. And you can get something for as low as $40,000 in New York City. That's incredible, right? If you have the money and you can buy a space that already has a kitchen built in, that's amazing. So don't stop because of financial resources. Like, you can do it. And yeah, just keep going and go for it, because if we did it, you can do it too.
Well, again, thank you so much for being with us today. Our guest has been Joanni Perez, and she is the founder and co-owner of 3 restaurants here in New York City, 2 in the Bronx, 1 in Manhattan. That's the Tin Marin, the Tilila, and the Cañave. Hopefully I got them right. I wrote them down.
You did. Got it.
It's been an absolute joy to have you on this program today. The giving back, the gift society, the gift economy, really taking what you've developed, what you've learned, what you've been successful in, what you've accumulated, and now giving it back and sharing it with other people is just a joy to hear that. So I can't thank you enough for being with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.